We turn to the chapter which we read in the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 26, and we shall read again verse 8. Isaiah chapter 26 at verse 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. Amen. John Calvin said that this verse contains a very beautiful doctrine. What is this doctrine? It is the doctrine that God's people are not alienated from him by his judgments. When divine judgments come, many find fault with God. They're filled with rage against God. But not the Lord's people, not the truly godly. When God's judgments come, they still look to him. Indeed, they find themselves looking to him all the more. Are you like that at this time? This time of an affliction throughout our land and in so many parts of the world. Something unexpected, something perhaps trying, even sore and very sore for many. How do you respond to it? Do you, in a sense, become angry with God? And do you question why things should be as they are? We confess that that tendency is within us all. That is part of our sinful nature. But if we are the Lord, we have help here. We learn how we ought to be, and how by grace we may be. This chapter is a song. It's just a song of joy and praise. A song of celebration. The great things that God has promised to do for his church and his people against his and their enemies, these things are celebrated in this chapter. This song should be in our hearts. It should be there at all times. May not always be upon our lips. Our hearts may be heavy, but something of this song should be found in our hearts. Yet it is there that we must acknowledge our weakness. When things are as they are in the opening part of this chapter, when we can see God fulfilling his promises to his people, when our path is pleasant, well then, we find it easy to trust in God and to be confident in him. But when times are dark and difficult and discouraging, oh, then it's not so easy for us to trust in the Lord, and our confidence in God may begin to wane. Well, in our text, we are learning how the godly persevere at such times. And we see that they have reason for hope, a sure hope in their God, their covenant God. Well, let us consider what the Lord is saying to us in our text. And firstly, we shall note with the Lord's help, waiting for God. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. And we are being told here that we should maintain our dependence upon God at all times, and especially in difficult times. To trust in him firmly as the rock of our salvation. To trust in him constantly. You see, our situation may change from year to year, month to month, day to day. And that is the nature of this fallen world. That is our lot while we're in this world. Things never remain the same for very long. But God never changes. He is the eternal. He is the perfect one. And he's the same towards his people in all their experience here. We change. God never changes. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. His people, his poor sinful people, they're not consumed. No, they're loved. And they're provided for. And they're upheld. And they're guided. And they're kept. And they are delivered out of their difficulties. We are to hope strongly that God will work. And we are to wait patiently for him to work. Now, is that our attitude in this new year? To have faith in God and to have a stronger faith in him? We certainly need that. The context is that of judgment. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. And we know something of divine judgment at this present time. What is God's purpose when he brings judgments upon men? Well, there is a twofold purpose that is brought out in verses 9 and 10, a purpose of grace and a purpose of justice. Verse 9, at the second part of the verse, for when my judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Well, they learn righteousness because they see that God is a righteous God. But they learn righteousness also in terms of their own need of righteousness. That is God's purpose of grace. To bless his people with the knowledge of their own sin and shortcoming. And the knowledge of a perfect righteousness as a justifying righteousness, which is theirs in Jesus Christ the Redeemer. Now God's people know that righteousness. They need to be reminded of it. And especially if they fall into sin, if they go astray, like wandering sheep, and we're all like that. Or they need to be reminded of God's justifying righteousness, but also of the righteousness he requires of them in their walk. Are we walking uprightly? Have we ceased from sin? And are we learning to do well in terms of what God requires in his commandments? How are believers to show their gratitude to God for His salvation? By a life and a walk that is well pleasing in His sight. And that life and walk is seen in Christ perfectly. And that is our justification. But it should be seen in us by grace. It should be seen in us more and more. And we have to lament that too often it's not seen, or seen only very faintly. And the Lord's people and the church may become conformed more to the world than to Jesus Christ. And God may send judgment upon His church to awaken His people out of a sort of spiritual slumber into which they have fallen. And when He sends judgments, the godly will learn, and they will acknowledge and they will confess to the Lord that they have turned away, they have gone backward, and they will begin to seek Him anew. They'll get a blessing, even in the time of judgment, for they will see things in their proper light. They will understand the priorities in life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And there may be those who, when entering into this experience of divine judgment, are not converted, but through the dealings of the Lord, His gracious dealings, they are brought to saving faith and saving repentance. They see themselves against that inflexible standard that God has set in His law, and they see that they are not fit for God, and they recognize that God is a merciful God. He sent a Savior, and they come at the call of the gospel to Jesus Christ. Judgments abounding, and sinners learning righteousness, their need of it. And they come to Christ, and believing in Him, God acquits them. And they enjoy that peace with God that they did not have and could not have before. Is that something you are lacking, even as you begin a new year? Peace with God? Your conscience troubles you. It's never at rest. It's always accusing you. Well, if it is, that's something you may be thankful to God for. Perhaps you're not thankful at the moment. But if God continues to speak to you, and we pray that He will, the Lord will bring you where you need to be, to your needs, and in prayer, and calling for His mercy, that your sins might be forgiven. And that blessing is in Christ. And oh, that you might find Christ, that you would know the crucified one, that you would be found in the Savior, and wearing that robe of His perfect righteousness. God's purpose of grace, but also God's purpose of justice, we then have in verse 10. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. The same judgment coming upon others does not see any change on their part, any recognition that they are sinners, that these things are deserved, and more. Rather, there seems to be a hardening. What a calamity that is. Yet it is a reality. It is going on all the time. We believe it's happening in our nation at the present. Many are not humbled as they need to be humbled. And rather, their sense of their own importance and worth and wisdom is only increased. They shut out the thought of God and any idea that these judgments that are upon our land, it's not just the coronavirus, it's so many other things, it's all the spreading immorality and the unbelief. They shut out the thought that these things are tokens of God's displeasure and signs, as it were, of the impending final judgment. And if they were wise, they would humble themselves, and they would search and try their own ways, and they would return to the Lord. But no, he will deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Not acknowledge it, that God is king, he is sovereign, his law is the law that matters. And yet one day, such will learn righteousness. They will have to. Verse 11, Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. A warning to Israel, Judah, warning to our land today, a warning to many. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If judgments which come as warnings do not lead to repentance, then the majesty of the Lord will be seen. His hand will be lifted up, and it may indeed deal a fatal blow to the proud, wicked among men who would not learn righteousness in the way they needed to learn it, in the way of seeking God for his mercy. Well, what is the calling of the church and of the Lord's people? Those who wait upon God. One is to declare the truth and to live out the truth. The truth of a righteous God. And to walk in righteousness. God's word is light in the present darkness. Many may not want to hear it, but hear it they must, because it is the only hope for our world, for our nation, for our society. Pray for God's servants that they will have the strength and the boldness to preach God's word to our nation. And seek grace for yourself as a believer to live godly in Christ Jesus and to be a shining light wherever God has placed you. God's judgments sometimes endure. They may be lasting. They may rest upon a land for a long period. And if God's judgments endure, we must endure in our trust in Him and in our hope in Him. Even though we may suffer, and we may suffer because of the judgments that are upon the land generally, and we may suffer because of the reaction of the ungodly to divine judgments, which often is, they point the finger at God's people and accuse them and persecute them, even in their anger against God. They so deal with His people. Well, what blessed words we have from the mouth of Job. In Job 13 and verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Can you say that? It surely takes grace to say that, to utter that, not just with the lips, but from your very heart. Though God would slay me by his providence, yet will I trust in him. I will always trust in him, because he is my God. He's made a covenant with me. He loves me. He's merciful and gracious to me. Even though at this time, and for good reason, we are in the way of his judgments. And that's how it is. And the judgments are upon church as well as state. And the Lord's people need to take note of God's hand, but they need to wait for him. They need to maintain their dependence upon him. Secondly, we have desiring God. The desire of our soul is to thy name. Here we have the godly. This is their attitude. In a time of difficulty, in dark days, when God's judgments are apparent. And we learn from them that we are to continue in our petitions to God. Prayer is our duty. And we always add, it's our privilege also. What a privilege prayer is. That we sinful creatures can come before the Holy God and make our requests known to Him. How is that possible? There's only one way. It must be through Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. And you cannot worship God and you cannot pray without a mediator, and there's only one who will do, the God-man, Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And Christ is sufficient. You see, his sacrifice is a sweet-smelling savour unto God. You think of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, and the blood was shed and the carcasses were burned. Sweet smelling savour, so is the sacrifice of Christ in spiritual terms. It satisfied God's justice. The lawful captives are delivered by it. Sinners are set free. The Son of Man has accomplished that by his atoning work, finished at Calvary. And so we have access to God. And the access is always there. Have you thought sometimes as a Christian, when you sinned in a way that you're ashamed of, and we should be ashamed, of course, at all our sin, have you thought that because of that sin, you're shut out from God? God is not going to hear you. Well, there's a truth there. God is certainly displeased with our sin. And there is the frown of God upon us because of our sin. But God is not saying to us, do not draw near to me. He's saying the very opposite. He's saying, come to me. Come to me with confession. Come to me and seek my mercy, my forgiveness. Come to me as a child of mine. And make known what you've done. And know this, that there is forgiveness with me. And that because of my Son, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we should not in any way stay away from the throne of grace. We should come immediately and come boldly yet humbly, and we should pour out our heart to our Heavenly Father, and we should seek God's forgiveness. We are to continue in our petitions to God, even in the time of judgment, perhaps especially in the time of judgment. Pour out your hearts unto him, ye people. God is a refuge for us. Is he your refuge in the present time and at all times? We certainly need a refuge. A refuge in terms of our own soul, salvation from sin, and deliverance from divine wrath, that's in Christ. And we need God as our refuge in terms of God being a shelter for us in his providence, sparing us, keeping us, delivering us in an evil day. Psalm 91, the secret place. That's where believers belong. That's where they should be going consciously all the time. They are hidden under the shadow of God's wings. They need to know that that is where they are. Exercise faith in their God. This desire, the desire of our soul, and the word suggests a strong affection, a longing for something. And of course, what the believer longs for is God, God himself. We have earthly needs. And we have a warrant in Scripture to go to God for those. Give us this day our daily bread. To go daily to God as a bountiful Father, asking him to grant us the needful things of that day. And the daily bread encompasses all such things. But the desire of our soul to God's name. By the name we understand all that pertains to God, especially his word and his works. That's how he's revealed himself, made himself known to us. And our desire, the desire of our soul, is to this God, the God of creation and providence and redemption. The God of the covenant, rich in mercy and grace. The God and Father of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the desire of the soul of the believer, is to possess and enjoy God, His blessings. Do you have God as your God? Do you know Him in the way of having a wholehearted trust in Him and affection for Him? Do you know Him in the way of seeking Him in all your need, in all your troubles? Do you go to Him in these present times when many are fearful? It's a practical thing. When there's a virus, a plague in the land, well, one necessity is to seek to be secure and safe from the danger it might present. Perhaps for many, it's not a very harmful thing, but it could be. And to ask God in prayer that He would take care of you and protect you and your loved ones and others, and especially those you know might be vulnerable to such an infection. Pour out your heart to Him. You see, that is how prayer ought to be. There should be something of a holy impulse behind our petitions. Not just the saying of words. James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That suggests, does it not, that if the prayer is not fervent, and certainly if the man is not righteous, then the prayer will not avail very much at all. There needs to be righteous man praying, woman praying, righteous in Christ, acquitted by God, walking with God, and there needs to be this longing and an urgency with it and a pleading with God. And how do we get this holy impulse? Well, there is a gracious enabling in prayer which is promised by God. Praying in the Spirit. And we learn something particular regarding this in Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And there we have the work of the Holy Spirit in the prayers of God's children. It is God's children who pray. But they're weak. They have these infirmities, including this. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. We do not often know exactly what we should be praying. We can hardly find words. But then we remember that words are not the essential thing. It's the spirit of the prayer, the desire that is there. If the desire is in accordance with God's mind and will, well, that is a true prayer. And it is one that the Lord will answer. And the Spirit of God will give us those desires out of the Word of God as we read it and lay it to heart, as we learn from it what we may ask of God lawfully and properly. Groanings which cannot be uttered, that comes from the Spirit of God. And if we have anything of that, a burden, a sigh, a cry, praise God. The Lord is in our praying. And if the Lord is in our praying, will there not soon be a gracious answer and a blessing? The desire of our soul is to thy name, to God's name, his holy name. Is that our concern at this present time in our nation and in the world? Certainly we want relief from the coronavirus. Certainly we want the rate of its spread to diminish and indeed to see the end of it altogether. We want to see those who may be in danger from it protected. We want to see an end of people suffering and dying from this affliction. But above and beyond that, we may say, is God's name. And the desire of our soul is to his name. We desire above everything his glory, his will to be done, his work in the world to continue, his purpose to be fulfilled. And if it is necessary to bring sinners to their senses and to cause people to learn righteousness and to bow down before him and call upon his name, if it is necessary for these things, that there should be this affliction, and that it should continue for some time. For we must, in meekness, accept that. Because God is on the throne. And God is the only wise God. And God knows what he is about. Because he knows the end from the beginning. And which one of us, and which of any man, can tell us what the outcome of this affliction will be, and of what may be fulfilled during the time that it lasts? Do we desire God? Does our soul seek after God? Well, we should be like that. Even, shall we say especially, when his judgments are in the land and continue in our petitions to him. And then thirdly and finally, remembering God. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. And what the godly do when difficult times come, distressing times, is this: they seek their comfort in God. And that's where our comfort, our real comfort, always is. But in times of adversity, we're constrained all the more to seek our comfort in God. We simply cannot find it anywhere else. You see, that's how it is with the world. They're finding their comfort, their satisfaction, their pleasure in earthly things. And in normal times, as we call them, they have these things aplenty. And they can turn to their entertainments, to their drink, to the merrymaking, all types of leisure and recreation and so forth. They could amuse themselves with these things, but now many of these things have been taken away, or at least severely limited. And perhaps, and it's a sad thing, people become depressed. And their mood becomes dark. And they struggle. And there's a sort of despair there. Especially the longer the coronavirus lasts. And their need, and this is our message to such, is to seek comfort in God. To seek it by Jesus Christ. To seek it in the one who died to bring sinners to God, to pardon and cleanse them from all their sin, and to give them the gift of everlasting life. What are all these? Frivolities, the vanities of this world in comparison with that. Comfort in God. Now friends, the comfort is not in the bare belief that there is a God. Some will be trying to comfort themselves in that way at the present time. Oh, I believe that there is a God. And in some way that gives them some sort of hope, something to hold on to. They don't really understand what's happening. They don't know what the outcome will be. They haven't really any personal hope, sure hope for eternity. But they try to find some comfort in some idea of some God, some explanation for the things that are happening. These judgments upon the world, they won't see them as judgments, but they believe in some idea of God. No, there's no comfort in that. The comfort is in the God of the Bible. The God who has made himself known supremely in the Holy Scriptures. And the comfort is in who God is and what God has done and what God will yet do. And when we understand these things in the light of Scripture, we have comfort in what God is doing even now. We may not follow it exactly. We may not understand it perfectly. But knowing the God who is sovereign and whose kingdom ruleth over all, we have comfort that there is a purpose in what is taking place. And we have the word there, remembrance. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. It is to recollect. It is to call to mind. We have it at the beginning of the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And as the catechism teaches us, before the Sabbath arrives, We are to make preparation for it. We are to finish necessary tasks as much as we can, and to lay these things aside, that we might then devote ourselves to the privileges as well as the duties of the Sabbath day. The worship of God. Time spent with God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The remembrance of God and of His word and of His deeds and of His promises. To think upon Him with serious thought, with meditation, to take His word into our hearts, praying that the Lord would place it there with power and with grace, that we would get from God's word understanding, peace, reassurance, spiritual comfort in a dark and troubled time. Do you think upon the Lord? The Lord thinks upon His people. Oh, wonderfully He thinks upon them. He knows the thoughts that He has towards His own. He will give them an expected end. An end full of hope. Whatever their lot here, whatever difficulties they may have, whatever suffering they may experience, the Lord thinking upon His people, His thoughts are thoughts of love and they are to think upon Him and the thoughts He has to them. The love that is evident in the gift of Jesus Christ. And if you have Christ in your life, then you have everything you need. And you have every reason for comfort in a time of affliction, even of the most severe kind. The remembrance of God. Well, to conclude with this, in verse 9 we have exhortation, practical things whereby we remember our God. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. Seek God early. Do not delay. Do not wander in your mind about things. You will never find in your own mind, by your own wisdom, an explanation for the events which come to pass. You'll never be able to comprehend these things as you might wish to. But if you seek God, seek Him in His word. Seek Him in prayer. You will get light, a measure of it. And especially, you will get comfort. Your heart will be at peace, knowing that the Lord is in these things, over these things, ordering these things for His glory and the good of His church and people. And to learn righteousness, as we said before. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. This time of affliction should be a time of growth in grace for God's people, we should be increasing in holiness, because we should be laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Running the race with patience, looking unto Jesus. Adversities, afflictions, judgments, calamities, they're all signs of a world that is appointed to destruction. One day it will all come to an end. And it will come to an end with the coming of Christ. And are we looking for Him? And are we waiting for Him? Hoping for Him? Longing for Him? And are our thoughts upon the Lord? In that way, God's people are not alienated from Him, turning from Him at such a time as this. They're drawing closer and they're finding all their contentment in Himself. May the Lord bless His word. Let us pray. O Lord, we seek grace from Thee in these difficult days, praying that Thou wilt give light to many, even from Thy word, and that many will indeed be seeking after Thee, recognizing the sad state of things in the world and the reason for it, even man's sin, even their own sin, and coming to Thee in the name of Christ to obtain mercy, to find forgiveness. O Lord, bless Thy dealings and watch over us and keep us, and forgive our sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.